Beloved children of God, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been more than 25 years since the very first time I stood in a pulpit and prayed that prayer. It was Pentecost. It was a random act of kindness kind of sermon. It was not what I really wanted to do, but I agreed to it in order that my colleague, the pastor, could go to another town and attend the confirmation of his eldest daughter. One reason I agreed to preach had to do with one of the scriptures assigned for the day. We heard it read last week. For all who are led in the Spirit of God are the children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. You see, that text from Romans gave me a starting place for a first sermon. I had a foothold of understanding right away, because if there's one image and one relationship in the Bible that I understand, it's that of adoption. All my life, I've known I was adopted. I heard the story from my parents, from my grandparents, from my cousins. I even learned early on to tell the story to myself. Because of this, I also knew the temptation to fall back into fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of believing that I was unwanted. Fear of becoming a slave to that who, what, and where of the relationship that I wasn't allowed to have with my biological parents. Over the years, the narrative of that other part of my story has been altered 4 times by additional information. And throughout all of it, I remain extremely thankful for God's presence and persistence and patience and promise to never let me go, because that's the relationship we have with our God. Well, relationships are tricky, aren't they? I mean, some of them are so easy, and sometimes in a relationship, it's so joyful, and sometimes it is so hard. Part of what can be difficult in a relationship is the process of revealing ourselves to the other. Our keynote speaker yesterday during Synod Assembly used the image of an iceberg. What's the one thing we all know about icebergs? If this is the iceberg and this is the waterline, you can only see this very top. You have no idea of the shape or the depth or the breadth or what the makeup is of what's below the waterline. That can be scary. That can be mysterious. That can be vulnerable to take the parts that we don't show and to slowly reveal them to another person, to a friend or even a family member, a colleague, a neighbor. But that's kind of like, that iceberg image is also kind of like our relationship with God, right? I mean, we know certain things about God. We're taught certain things about God. And as we grow, we learn a little bit more and a little bit more. But it takes us a lifetime to understand that relationship. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. There are countless ways that we can call on God, the 3-in-1. I've come to dearly appreciate the numerous names, the images and attributes of God. Having multiple options of address can be very life-giving. I spent years needing to address my prayers to Comforter rather than Father, ever-present guide or companion or friend. Teacher, light of the world, my refuge, my strength, or my hope. And as time went by, I became more and more comfortable using these different ways of calling on God. It was like I was able to see glimpses of what was below the waterline. In turn, I became more readily open and more willing to reveal what my heart and my hurt, my pain and my questions, my joy and my what do I do now? Names, nicknames, terms of endearment. Some of us go through life collecting names. Our parents give us a name, but often call us by something else. Sometimes it's a variation of our given name. My grandmother was the only one who could get away with calling me Kimmy. I hated being called that, except by her. Come to find out, just a few years ago, my eldest cousin let it slip, "Oh no, we all called you Kimmy." And I said, "Yeah, but not to my face." Did you have school friends that gave you a nickname, or maybe somebody on a sports team or at camp, maybe at a first job, maybe a neighbor, or maybe more names that came from family members? Some of them hurt, some of them helped. We watched in amazement as our youngest daughter, Mary, became this rising star in track. And arriving at the track meet one day, I was rather late, and this one race had already started, and I stopped at the barricade at the base of the stands where I was gonna go and sit with the rest of the family. And I was watching the baton being passed to Mary. She always ran that last leg of the four-legged race, but you know. I don't know, is that the anchor or is that the whatever it is? She was that last person, and I could see it happening, and then I could see her turn on the power once she knew she had that baton in her hand. And as she raced by, one person after another, catching her team up, surpassing the last person who was in front of them, she went from last place to first place, and I think I stopped breathing, but all of a sudden, this young man, this student standing next to me, puts his hands up to his face and he yells,
"Weiss the Beast!"
What? My little Mary? A beast? But it was such a term of endearment. And it shouted what people knew about her, that she endured and she pushed, she was persistent, and she was gonna run for all she was worth every time she had that baton in her hand. That actually continues today in her life. And knowing that about her and looking at names that I know I've given to friends, or that friends have given to me, or names that I've taken on because of something I've been involved in, it has shown me more about my heart and what God calls me to and how God nurtures me. And isn't it amazing to be able to turn to somebody, whether I know them or not? And I have no doubt that you've done this at some time, or you've wanted to, and I would encourage you to be brave and do it, to turn to somebody who's obviously down and hurting, carrying the world on their shoulders, and being able to turn to them and say, "You know I have had an experience of God that has me calling God my strength and my refuge, and I want to share that with you. Lean on me until you can say that yourself. I'll walk with you. I'll walk with you. I'll sit with you. I'll accompany you." That's what we do for each other in community. This morning, we heard about God's love being poured into our hearts. We heard the words, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Not only that, but we boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. That's two long sentences with two lists of words. In the first sentence, we have faith and peace and grace and hope. And in the second sentence, we have suffering and endurance and character and hope. And what if you line those four sets of words up next to each other, and you have faith and suffering, peace and endurance, grace and hope. Sorry, grace and character. See, I'm really not big on character. I've made a list of all the things that my dad typically said would build character, and it's a long list of, you know, doing the dishes, pulling the weeds, raking the yard, picking up the puppy poop. You know, I mean, it's all those kinds of things. Just do it. It builds character. Unless, of course, you were my brother, and then it put hair on your chest. So I was pretty happy with character after that. And at the bottom of all of that, the end of that sentence has to do with a hope that will not disappoint us. What kind of hope is that? Well, it's not the world's hope. Not the cross your fingers, hold your breath, and wish on an eyelash kind of hope. No. This is God's kind of hope. I'd like to share with you a few words from an author that has written a book with a great title, and it is Hope Begins Where Hope Begins. Hope always looks beyond itself, recognizing the help that can come from outside, from beyond, from another. Hope tells us that there is an other who is important, in whom we are anchored with every fiber of our being. Hope depends on another, on others, on God. It simply cannot be achieved alone. Hope stands a chance only in our relationship with others and with God. It is in the everyday face-to-face relation between myself and another that I might discover the still small voice that calls me to continue. It's about relationship. I used to equate hope with persistence and dogged determination, because that's sort of what it took to get me through the day. But that way of thinking never seemed to be quite complete, and Michael Downey's way of talking about hope in this book ties it directly into the relationships. And I think that that's what Paul does today in the letter to the Romans. Paul shows us that this hope that does not disappoint us is the hope that we have because of love. Now, you probably guessed we wouldn't get all the way through this without coming back to love. It's sort of like the answer in Sunday school is always Jesus. But the love that we heard about today is the love that is poured into us by the Holy Spirit, the one that we heard in the Gospel of John being the one that was promised by Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would come to us to comfort us and guide us, to fill us with God's love, and to fill us in on all the things we can't bear right now. We would not be alone. Remember, God says to us, I called you by name. I've carved your name in the palm of my hand. I will not forsake you. I will not forget you. You are my beloved child. And God calls us to remind each other of that, so that when I'm faltering, I can lean on your hope and your faith. And that's the gift of community. And we need to both remind that and share it with one another. This relationship where real hope begins is a love that will never let us go. Amen.